it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Guys, welcome back to the About Last Night podcast. We're coming to you live from Green Lake, Washington. And, you know, because we're in Seattle, you got to have a hometown guest in a hometown backdrop. So today is my best friend, my longest friend, my hottest friend. That's up for you to decide. He has a new baby. He's a future president. He's a great tennis player. He was vice president when I was president, fifth and sixth grade. He was the scarecrow when I was the cowardly lion. He was a secretary when I was vice president in high school. He's the yin to my yang, the peanut to my jelly, the clit to my labia. Anthony Ariema.
Wow. Wow. The last one was the most meaningful to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so funny. Have you even tried to ever describe, have you ever done like any of those, maybe it's like a job questionnaire when they say like, describe yourself, and you have to basically brag about yourself for a job, or maybe high school essays were the first time we had to like say what you like about yourself or your qualities that are.
Recently I've taken multiple of these, like, you know, 80 question multiple choice, like out if you're a thinker or are you a listener or
for what, for
work.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, I take these and how do they know? Like, it's 80 questions and you're supposed to answer them in like 2 seconds. And it's like, oh, based on your response to these questions over the last 5 minutes, like, here's
you're a pathological liar.
Yeah. And here's your entire life plan on how you should act because this is what we determined you are.
Yeah. Who made up the test? And then we're just deciding that this test is like, I mean, I feel that way about all tests, probably because I'm bad at them. The SATs, I still even feel like are a one way to gauge all of that. But I feel like there should be the same way Happy Madison or Billy Madison did his, like, you know, test to get into to pass. Was it high school or the fifth grade?
Yeah.
So whatever that test was, where it was like perform a monologue, do like a track and field thing, and then do an actual test. It's like, that's honestly how those things should go to determine your worth as a person. Not just, you know, cat is to kitten as clit is to labia. Call back, drink five.
But if you did get that question right, then, well, you should drink five, but also
you should drink five. You should probably drink 15 and you should stay indoors for a while.
Yeah. And if you were like a high schooler answering that, just really impressive.
Were you a good test taker?
I was pretty good.
You've always been, ever since we met in
1993,
summer of 93, no?
Let's see. I moved back to Seattle from New Jersey in summer of 93. So I think probably first day of school. My fourth grade, your fifth grade, and we were in the class.
I thought we had so that summer that we hung out every day in the summer was that summer.
That was the summer after we
had
school together.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. We've been friends that long.
Yeah.
And this is what's always crazy. It's like, you know, you and I have mutual best friends and, you know, friends from your class that I'm chummy with, vice versa from mine. But it's like truly somebody that from that far back that I've stayed in touch with, and not just stayed in touch with, like, you came to the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game in Charlotte, like,
thank
weddings,
you.
Like, you're going to be in my wedding, like, and almost probably every time I've come home, probably I'd say 80% of the time since I left. Probably.
Yeah. And I'd say I made sure to, for a while there, I was getting down once a year.
To LA?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. And you stay with me, right?
Yeah.
The last time I think you and Colin came and we went to like a taping of Undateable.
That's right.
And then I think that was the time actually that my landlord, when we, it was like the day like Colin was just about to maybe have his third kid.
Yeah.
And you maybe were planning the wedding. So there was a lot going on. You're both busy with work. LA trip. Like, we're going to go to comedy shows. We're going to go to TV tapings. We're going to, you know, kick it in my place. Got a pool in the complex.
Right.
I bought these Target pool toys. We got in the pool. And my Polish landlord, Roxana, comes out and is like, there are no pool toys in the pool. And I don't do accents, but she's like, you know, she's just something bitchy. And she was like, there's no pool toy. And we were like, I remember it was like literally, and then this is, man, life rules. Yep. Cheers to fucking friendship. And then just, excuse me, you know, the cockpock police is here.
Like literally, she had like a room that just oversaw the pool, if I remember.
She was like, did somebody order a buzzkill? And she came down and was like, no pool toys in the pool. And I was like, Roxana, if I drown on a Target pool floaty, that's how I was supposed to go.
On a Monday afternoon at 1 p.m.
Yeah, dude. Like, drinking a Coors Light.
Yeah.
But that was the best. And so we've always done a good job of, and that is rare, which I didn't realize until, I'm sure we've both just gone about our lives and people find out that, like, I'm sure when you're like, oh, I'm going to the Celebrity All-Star Game, you know, to see who? And then you go, my buddy Adam Ray. And people go, I said to see who, you know, because like, who's that? You know? Yeah. And I thought it was supposed to be a celebrity game. And then, but like even that, then you explain like the backstory. And people go, you're still friends with somebody from fucking fifth grade?
Yeah. Yeah. It, I mean.
Why is that?
I don't know. I've always wondered this because, I mean, you and I and several of other friends have always kept in touch. But like there's another dozen or so friends from high school I'm still really close with.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's something about just the community we grew up in, just luck of the draw.
Lake Forest Park is a very, I mean, it was a very like close-knit community as far as elementary school, middle school, high school.
You went straight through, like, right. The middle school, we went, everyone from Kellogg Middle School went to Shorecrest High School. So really, you were all together for at least 6 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The schools are kind of close. Like everyone in high school works at like the Hollywood Video or the, you know, the Starbucks, whatever it is, like people work at the things you go to. So you're always seeing people. I think I attribute it to because when we met, so you grew up in Jersey.
No, grew up in Seattle.
Right.
Way to go.
20 years of friendship.
Way to go.
Fucking see, that's fucking, but hey, classic dude thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, it's like, I feel like I know everything about you, but that part, but there are going to be details.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
what's my middle name?
Michael.
Fuck.
Is it really?
Yeah. Okay, woman, fuck you. Yeah.
No, I knew that. So I must have known that.
Yeah, if
that just
came out. I
know
yours.
What is it?
Oh, man. Anthony. Mm-hmm. Well, I go back and forth between Anthony and Tony, and sometimes I want to say your middle name is Tony, to where it's Anthony Tony Ariema, but that's not it.
No.
I didn't say it is. I said, sometimes I want to say that. Let me finish. Anthony. Oh, man. It's something Italian.
Is it?
Give me a hint.
You were actually close with Tony.
Toby is not it.
It's not. I didn't say that either. It's not.
It's not. Yeah. No.
It's Todd.
Gotcha.
It's Todd.
And then where's that from?
My mom's side of the family.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But both my parents grew up in New Jersey.
That's right.
They moved out to Seattle. I was born in Seattle, spent 9 years in Seattle. We moved all back to New Jersey thinking the fam was going to go back.
Yeah.
We lasted 1 year. My parents decided they wanted to come back to Seattle. We moved into a house down the street from where we had been living previously.
Wow.
But it was a new elementary school, which is why I met you.
Yes. So the LFP elementary school got remodeled, revamped, and they did this thing on the move-in day where we all walked down. So you missed that.
I missed that.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be bummed out. You basically missed a 40-mile hike with your whole fucking school.
And yet, people still talk about this.
Do they really?
Yes.
Dude, it was, I mean, look, I'd say driving distance, 10 to 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Walking distance with 500 kids, 3 hours.
Like kindergartners. Kindergartners walking.
Maybe more than that. And so, it was kind of cool though. It was a big march. It was probably less, probably 90 minutes. So, but still, a kid is just like, and most of us are fat. Like, it's just not, you know, nobody was in great shape to make that trek.
Yep.
So we get there, big deal. We met in that class, 93. It was a 4th-5th split.
Yep.
First of all, I want to say, coming back to Seattle, were you pumped? were you like, oh, I was getting excited about growing up in New Jersey?
I think it was conflicting feelings because it was going to be my fourth school in 4 years. So I wasn't thrilled about that. And
how did you adjust with that in general?
I think it made me part of who I am today. Just like, oh, new school, got to make new friends, got to be,
dude, it's fight or flight. You either have to be like that or you go, oh, God, my God, I'm going to be, how's this going to go? Like, I'm going to isolate myself for a little bit and just hope that people come to me and go, hey, new kid, come with us. But no, you're like, I gotta be the active one.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I mean, still going to the new school, which is why, I don't know, like just going back to our friendship, the fact that, you know, it was new area, even though it was like living in a nearby part of town, it was still just new school, new everything.
Yeah.
And so like those friends are still about a dozen friends.
From Jersey?
No, from that class.
Yes.
That we're still buddies with today. And it's just amazing. I think is just luck that we just got placed in there. And,
1,000%.
Yeah.
It's also, you know, I didn't even know a fourth, fifth split class existed where it was like you were in fourth, I was in fifth. Because every class was like there's 3 fourth grade classes or 2 fifth grade classes, depending on the size. And then sixth grade, there was 3. So that was unique, you know? I'd never had that. And because usually you didn't integrate with the underclassmen, I guess you can call them even in elementary school, unless it was like recess or lunch.
Yeah.
So there was not really an opportunity. You kind of were friends with the kids you had class with.
Yeah.
And sometimes that sucked. Sometimes you were just like, I got Todd Giese, Aaron Skinner, Kimberly Throwfall, Jennifer Powers. Shout out to Jennifer Powers, by the way. Fucking 6'9 in the fifth grade. Dominant center.
Incredible.
In basketball. And I think is in teaching and just has come to my shows. Is a great great gal. Yeah. But so you have, you know, these are who you get to be friends with.
Yeah.
Jill Warren. Can't forget Jill Warren. Quick story. I've said it before. I'm in class, silent reading. She had some snacks. I was extra hungry, yada, 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 fat. And I go, can I have your crackers? She gives them to me. I start eating them. She famously had these, like, you know, vampire fangs for teeth, you know, whatever. Brushing was a chore. And so she had these here, and she gave me her crackers, and she starts cracking up laughing. And I go, what's so funny? She goes, and I quote, my brother farted on those crackers, to which I said, all of them, and then kept eating. So
can we also say we also had a girl in that class who,
well, let's just go through the class.
Let's just go through.
So fourth, fifth split.
You know where I was going with this too.
On the count of three, say her name. 1, 2, 3. Jenny Taylor. You know her name. You just knew that.
I just knew that she thought she was a cat and that she scratched our teacher thinking she was a cat.
Let that just sit for a minute. We had a fifth grade girl in 1993 who thought, not just, hey, I'm going to pretend, thought she was a cat. And her parents were, that was the crazy part, were brilliant scientists. Remember?
I did not.
Oh, they came in to you don't remember that?
No.
They came in to do like, all I remember is her dad saying something about riboplasm. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Psychoplasm?
100%.
Cytoplasm.
1,000%. Yep.
Cytoplasm. Something plasm. And I remember him not getting through it because she went, I'll never forget that. I don't remember what was being discussed. So she scratched Mrs. McQuay. Shout out to Miss McQuay.
Absolutely.
Still with us, I think.
Let's just say so.
One of the best teachers ever, I think.
She was great.
She was a Meryl Streep from Devil's Wear Prada. Right?
Yeah, as I remember as my 9-year-old self.
Yes,
yeah, that's,
but nicer. I remember she even, because I, you know, and this is why it's great to have you on, because you can definitely be an insight for the listeners as to what I was like, or when I feel like I was always trying to make jokes and make people laugh, but I don't even remember at that stage. I remember fourth grade, I was doing impressions of the teacher, wimpy cushion on the chair, you know, getting in trouble a lot and getting kicked out. And but in that one, I feel like because I had you, Colin Sullivan, Ben Jigley, Pat Hogan, Adam French, Ben Robeson.
Yep.
Even the gals, again, I'm going to throw Jennifer Powers, Cammie Throwfall, I think Jessica Bright, I think Caitlin Peck.
Carlene Dietz. Eva Anderson.
People that were just like, like we had a goofy group. It was the goof troop before the actual show. And so I remember a lot of laughing, you know, Barrett Speller, I think, before he put people in chokeholds and said gay shouldn't get married. But I think there was something about that class that was like, I don't know. Maybe it was the difference in, you know, like older and younger coming together. I don't know.
It's something. I don't know either. It was the first time I'd ever been in like a split class.
Yeah.
But
what do you remember? What was your like first, just getting back, starting school, making friends. Who do you remember like connecting with? What do you remember how that happened?
Yeah, I remember, I mean, the playground at our elementary school was great. There were like 8 basketball courts outdoors. So it was a lot of basketball. We just, the huge green field, a lot of Flyers Up with a football.
Yeah.
I remember
Flyers Up was great, by the way.
Yeah.
Just and whoever created that game, brilliant. The ultimate, it was almost like the iPad for kids back in the day, because it was like you could distract a bunch of kids at once with just fucking one person throws a ball in the air and 60 and
just,
kids.
It was okay, just tackle, throw people to the ground so you could catch them.
It was like the original Hunger Games for a fucking, for a whistling Nerf football.
100%.
But awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hey, Catherine, will you come over here and do stuff to me?
Well, you've got to do stuff to me first, sweetheart.
Okay, how about we use some of our dame sex toys?
What are those?
I'll take it from here, guys. As we've talked about on About Last Night before, we all, as people, should seek out what's right for us and not compromise what's most important, which is relationships and the sex lives we're living, especially in the bedroom. So why don't we think the same way about our sex toys that we think about our relationships? Well, Dame Products, who's that? I'll finish, Grandpa, is a woman-owned sex toy company making the next generation of vulva-tested, vulva-approved vibrators.
Ooh, I love those.
I love using them.
Founded by a sex educator and an engineering whiz, Dame develops toys with the help of real humans and couples like you. They're closing the pleasure gap and helping the world one vulva at a time. You got it, Gramps. Their vibrators and accessories are made with the medical-grade silicone, smart design principles, and lots of love, earning glowing press from the New York Times, W Magazine, and many more. Whether you're a couple looking for an extra boost where it matters or on a journey of self-exploration,
I know I am.
I know you are, too.
They'll be sure to earn a spot on your nightstand. I highly recommend the Ava.
What's that?
It's a couple's vibrator giving you clitoral stimulation during penetrative... Fuck, I can never say that. Penetrative sex. Its flexible wings tuck under your labia.
Oh, yeah.
For a snug fit.
Oh, yeah.
And the best part, Dame offers hassle-free returns within 60 days. So your satisfaction is literally guaranteed. You don't like it within 60 days, send it back and get it back for free. Go to DameProducts.com/aboutlastnight today for 15% off site-wide. They got so much shit on there. And if you use the promo code about last night, DameProducts.com/aboutlastnight, you get 15% off everything on the site. Go to DameProducts.com/aboutlastnight today for 15% off site-wide and start living a sexier nightlife.
You got it, Adam. I'll make her come for you.
That's not what I said.
So I remember
we had the upper playground.
That's right.
That had like a whole gymnasium, basketball courts.
And well, then you speak to upper playground, two tennis courts.
Tennis
up there.
Courts, which became a staple of our childhood.
Yes.
So Tony is a phenomenal tennis player. I don't know when you started playing, but
Probably, like first or second grade, yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I started playing about, my mom was like a doubles champ in Oklahoma, so I don't know if that has, I don't know why I said that as if like, so she passed down the skills to me. No, but I got into it because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then knowing that you played was like, oh, cool, and we have these courts. So we would go to LFP, sometimes at night, turn on the lights.
Yep.
I think I'd bike there. I think you'd bike there, or somebody would pick us up maybe at some point.
Something like that. I remember we play. We take a break. We would walk down the street to the like
7-Eleven,
but it was like the Lake Forest Park Market.
It wasn't yet.
Right.
It was 7-Eleven.
Okay, it was 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Get like a ham and cheese sandwich.
Jesus Christ! Are you like kidding me? In the hot summer.
Oh yeah, I still remember.
Yeah.
And then walk back, and just keep going.
We, by the way, no joke. And this is what was great about that summer, and we'll get more into that. But our folks would just be like, I think they'd drop us off and be like, hey. Whose house are we going to today? And we would just create this agenda, which at your place, it was, we put up a big wooden board for a strike zone.
Yep.
And we'd play backyard baseball.
Yep.
For 4 or 5 hours. Go ahead.
At your place in the basement.
Yeah.
You had like a mini hoop that was like, I don't know, 4 feet
I won
tall.
It at a grocery store. It was like a Top Food and Drug. It was like a Papa Shot. And I won that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I remember we would play
downstairs basketball dunk contest.
Dunk contest. You had VHS tapes of like past slam dunk contests.
Yes. And
we would try to replicate
like
the dunks.
Yeah.
And then go across the street to Avery Garmeyer's, who had a trampoline
under the basketball hoop.
Yes.
So you could dunk.
Yep.
I mean, we were truly living our best white suburban lives. It was just like pretend to dunk, you know, snacks. Then we had front yard baseball at my house, hitting tennis balls off my neighbor's house, run inside, look through the window, see him come out on the front and be like, God damn it. Or then hitting the balls over his house and then trying to hop the fence and seeing that the ball was gone.
Uh-huh.
So then, and then he'd be on the front porch with it, be like, looking for something. we truly had no shortage of activities.
No.
And it was great that our folks were like, yeah, fucking, I trust, like, go be at the tennis court for 9 hours and let me know when you want to get picked up.
Does that still happen?
I don't know, dude.
I have no idea.
I know that my nieces, who just turned 12, are really into anime right now.
Okay.
And they've been active their whole lives. Most kids just are by playground, outside, sports. They're going to middle school. My sister said she signed them up for each a couple sports each, which is great. Because they're definitely in that sitting inside technology, phone, TV mode.
Yep.
Pandemic didn't help, but, you know, they. I hope that school and sports and all that will just up at a notch.
Yep.
But then we're talking about having them have phones at school to be able to communicate. So I'm like hoping that the school has that on lockdown as far as like, because think about this. We didn't have phones at school, in middle school, right?
No.
So you just had to look up. And if you didn't want to socialize, you look down, you do your thing, you go to your corner, you go to whatever, maybe have friends. It was tough to be social for everybody.
Yeah.
But when you have these phones, it's an immediate, like, I don't have to socialize. But then also, it's how they are socializing. So what's the middle ground on that? Like, they're texting maybe a kid, like, meet me here after class. But then if you don't have that, you open yourself up to the opportunities to, like, walk to class and see somebody and stop and chat or...
I can't imagine
what
being a student is like right now with just phones, just social media, and I'm sure there's like online bullying.
The online bullying is crazy. Did you experience any bullying in school? Because that was one of the things that bonded us too, is that I was teased for being a fat kid, and you were the only kid, and I still say this today, that just, the first kid that I met that was just like, never even saw like that, and just was like, hey, you're fun, you're funny. We like a lot of the same shit. Let's hang out. Now, that being said, I don't know if you had like fucking stuffed it. Like, I don't know if you like made fat stuffed animals and like put my face on them and like, you know, practice your insults to get them out before you hung out with me so you wouldn't say them live in the flesh.
I will say, because you talk a lot about, you talk about this in your comedy, you talk about with guests, like being the fat kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't.
Remember.
I never thought about it. To
cool.
be honest.
Yeah.
Did you wear a t-shirt
when
we swam?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I like how you were asking me, and I was like, as if you didn't remember. Yeah. You're like, oh, everyone remembers, dude. It was, in fact, you should have just let those titties fly, because wearing a shirt accented them more.
No. But I just didn't, that never crossed my mind.
That's
and
cool.
I don't know what that says.
About you? A lot.
Yeah.
Because even, you know, and I won't say their names, best friends at that time were like, at some point that would come out, that would get touched on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so gut wrenching, you know, especially, you know, and because you're like, oh, man, I thought like you at least didn't care about that. And it was like we could just hang and not have it be, you know, because I always say, too, I was like, being a fat kids only know that it's a problem until someone else says something about it. I'm living this happy-go-lucky life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I'm aware that you think I don't fucking get in the shower and go, I wonder what my dick looks like. You know what I'm saying? At fucking 10. But like you, but it takes people like that to say things to make you go, oh, all right, it is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great bonder. Also, again, you liked theater, and this goes on to be a great connector. And going back to like why we've stayed friends for so long, I think, you know, we went to a camp, I think that summer, right?
The summer school.
Yeah.
Yes, in the Jungle Book.
We did it was a camp that had acting, tennis, and I don't know, fucking finger banging. What was the third thing that it was?
You know, I do remember. I don't know if it was that year or the year after. It was like beginning, the intro to the internet. And like you got to like see... like web pages.
That does sound familiar. Wow.
And I remember this. I still remember going to like, I don't know, like the Simpsons had a website, and this was like such a huge deal.
Wow.
So yeah, I think that's those are the three that come to mind when you think about that camp. Yeah.
That was cool because, again, then it made me go, I'm kind of interested in this acting thing. And to have somebody right away, this is why you're probably more instrumental in this whole career that I've carved out than we both realized. Because when you start out like that, you need people and anything you're doing that like are doing it with you mm-hmm. so that you can kind of be doing it consistently and have like a support system. Same thing in comedy. When you're starting out doing the open mics, you want that. You need a group, even if it's five or eight or two people that are going through the trenches with you yeah. and understand the grind of it.
Yeah.
And not that it's a grind in the fifth grade, but like having someone to memorize lines with and then go and then know that we're keeping each other accountable because we're going to be in the play together.
Totally. And just it was fun. I mean, it was like doing the play, you know, acting. I don't know. It was just like, oh, I was hanging out with my friends and we got to make each other laugh.
Totally.
And do that was
totally
that was half of it. Yeah.
So that camp happens. Then, so we go into that summer. We have this great summer where yep. we just really kick it. And then sixth grade comes around. And then, I mean, just, you know, and then I feel like seventh, eighth grade. So what our middle school was like, it was just seventh and eighth grade.
Right.
So you weren't there when I was in seventh grade.
Right.
But then you guys were there when I was in eighth grade.
Right.
And it's so weird because I feel like we still saw each other here and there, but not as much.
Yeah. And yeah, out of 3 years in a row, we were only in the same school for 1 year. So you just kind of lose.
Yeah.
I
don't know. You're doing your sports and everything with the people that are of your age.
Yeah.
And so it's just different. But then I feel like middle school connected back.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately go to high school. So then it's like, now there's another gap like that. And then I feel like when we got in the same high school, then it was like, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we got in the same high school. I still remember this because my freshman year, I was playing on the tennis team.
Yeah.
You tell stories about the football team and
doing the play.
Yes. And I actually had the exact same experience on the tennis team.
Of doing the sport and the play at the same time.
Well, I tried to. And I like made the varsity. It was a big deal. I was like, oh, and I can do the play and tennis at the same time, right? And they're like, no. And so I had to quit tennis.
Well, I remember that because you were like, oh, Adam did football in the play, so.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did do. You were able to do it together.
And it was tough because it was
right.
I was playing the villain in Nancy Drew, and it was like I wasn't in every scene, but like they just worked it out with freshman football, where the coach was like, you can skip some practices, or you can come late, or you can leave early,
right?
And I can't even believe I did that. It was fucking a lot,
I'm sure.
It was stressful, and also because I was going into both with teammates on the football team and then castmates in the play, being like, time to do it all, huh?
Yep. That's right.
You can't be here all the time. Like, where's the commitment? And I'm like, I'm fucking 15. I can't even drive yet. I haven't seen actual boobies. You know, like, well, give me a break. I'm trying to fucking just get my feet wet in whatever high school is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. So you were able to do it. And so I figured I could do the same. And they wouldn't let me play on the tennis team and be in the place. And I mean, it's funny. I play tennis like 5 days a week now.
Yes.
And I haven't acted since I was 18. But it was so important to me to be in that in Greece.
Yes.
And it was, that was a life-changing experience to just be part of that.
1,000%. Okay, so you couldn't do the freshman year play.
I decided to quit tennis so I could do the freshman year play and do
that's
Greece.
Right.
And that was like our reconnection.
Holy shit, that's right. And that's why that's even another amazing footnote in this whole story of our friendship, because that play was so, that was when I decided, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do acting. I'm going to make the entertainment my career.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy that you, because yeah, and that also was our like reconnection, because having the gaps between middle school yeah. and high school that kind of just put people on their own paths. And that was a special experience and show for a myriad of reasons, because yeah. you had, I think, the most underclassmen in Leeds for that show
yeah.
or just in the whole show, I think, that they had in a long time.
Yeah.
And I think partly because we had a lot of young talent, and then maybe there weren't as many older classmen that were interested in theater. But wow, that's crazy. So you couldn't do both. Why'd you choose to play over tennis?
I honestly, I think about like you, and I was like, oh. Get to hang out with Adam and you know, a few other friends of ours too.
Yeah.
But that was a big driver. And I mean, I think at the time too, I thought I wanted to be doing acting
yes.
as well in the future.
Because you did it 7th and 8th grade at Kellogg, right?
I did, yeah.
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 See, because that's funny. I chose sports over the play in middle school and regretted that. And so that's why I think when I was in high school, I was like, I got to try to do both. I just didn't yet want to pick.
Yeah.
And then eventually you have to. But so tennis was bummed and you were like, fuck it, I'm doing Grease.
Yeah.
Didn't even know if you were going to get a part, right? You just, or did you already get cast?
I tried to do both for like a week and it just didn't work. They said you had to make a choice.
What do you remember about the Shorecrest, our high school drama program?
So what I think about now is how crazy it is that, I mean, you are doing all the amazing things you are doing. We have another like 10 or so folks that post high school and made their professional career,
yeah,
something in the entertainment industry.
Or music. Steve Aguilar crushing the music game.
Yes.
Katie Denny is...
In New York and has do things more on the side now, but yeah, she was, you know, doing acting.
She was puppetry focused for quite a while.
Yeah. With,
and even musical theater.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And,
but also just a free... I mean, people that just have not... aren't not still utilizing their talents in some fashion.
Yeah. But I mean, we go down the list... I don't know how many people would be interested to hear all the names, but it's like, well, it's just, it's incredible. There are like an entire cast, 20 people that we would all be acting with. And so I, you know, you always hear the stories, like people say, oh, I did high school theater and everybody thought they had like the greatest program ever. And they were all amazing. And I'm sure we over maybe thinking a little bit about how talented folks were, but the fact that everyone has gone into that world except me, I think means something that we had some really incredible people.
But I think even you with what, and we'll get on this in a sec, but what you bring to your job requires the, because you have, like you said, like you had this fight or flight, make friends right away. You've always been so personable, go-getter, good at reading the room, and not like, but not needing to be the center of attention, but also a sniper with jokes. You know, and this goes back to what I was saying about needing when you're coming up a crew of people to help influence you and be yes men.
Yeah.
It's like Adam French, Colin, you, Chris, Kirk Huffman, having these friends for me that encouraged without saying like, you're funny, keep doing this. I don't think like anyone ever said that, but it's just the, and I'm still fucking bitter about it. but having people that encourage, make you feel like you're on the right track if you're making these people laugh, because I always thought you guys were the funniest and had a great sense of humor. So that was always a gauge for me where I was like, if I can get Tony to belly laugh, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because also I think you get to a point to where you see your friends, how they are with other people, and you're like, oh, that guy's fucking, that guy tried to be funny. He didn't laugh like that. Not the way I make him laugh. So you register that. Even at that age, I remember being like, oh, I think that whatever I'm doing, it's connecting with him more.
Yeah.
But the play was unique because in the drama program, and I think again you're right, we probably sugarcoat the experience and go, we had this amazing cast, but I think a lot of drama programs have, and we saw it post when we graduated, three to five maybe kids that are all about it, that are truly gonna make it a career, that are fucking great. And then you have probably 20 to 25 people that are like, this would be a fun thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. So do you think if we had gone to a different high school or just the theater program we grew up in was just, I don't know, run of the mill, would you be doing what you're doing today?
Great question, man.
Because everything you just said, I agree. There's the people. It just inspired you, influenced you. You felt like you weren't competing with folks, but you were, they made you better.
I'm not crying. I think, I honestly don't know, dude. Because that was so instrumental. I mean, should I quit football? That's what I wrote my college essay on, to play Danny Zuko in Grease. And that experience, not only on stage, but off stage, was just so like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And this is how I'm, look at the amount of people on stage and off stage I'm getting to affect with like fun vibes.
Yeah.
Comedy, like I feel like I was always cracking jokes, like in the green room and with us, and we'd go out and hang. And so that part of it was fun. So I was like, whatever I can do job wise that will continue down that path, I want to do. And football was great, but it was just a different dynamic and a different. I also just knew I was like, I'm not going to go pro. A couple injuries too early, size wise, but that was a, but it was fun, but it was a different fun. It was like the rush of being on the field and playing is incredible, and I cherish those days, especially in basketball, my favorite sport. But dude, like some of those, like rehearsing some of those like numbers, numbers for Grease. Now, what if I do start crying now? I'm doing all the things, rubbing my eye, getting choked up. But like doing all those, like the rehearsing and the, like the grind, and it was like, dude, late hours and like 6 to 11 and then fucking painting sets
yep.
and building sets. And like, you're in the trenches with these people for 5 months maybe. And then to do the show and have it be so well received. I mean, it was like the talk of the town, man. I mean, they in the papers and shit, people were coming and it was like, we have this young crew. It was almost like how the Mariners are now, where it's like you have this young core that people are fired up about.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember being like, this is really special. And also just every level of what we built to make and the way people received it and the way I remember my mom even like being real, you know, emotional about it and just seeing the grind of it and seeing and complimenting like how much I was into it versus other stuff.
Yeah.
That resonated with me where she was like, you fucking went all in. She's like, you were downstairs, like, you know, watching Grease, the movie, to try to get little affectations from John Travolta to kind of add in and going over my like truly putting in. And it didn't feel like work to me. It was because I wanted to be great at it.
Yeah. That was 23 years ago. And
wow.
And I think about, again, like sugarcoating just high school
yeah.
drama. But I think the fact that we still think about it in that way 23 years later, I think it meant
totally.
There really was something special about that affected especially your career and your life. Yeah. And mine too. But
1,000%. Now, do you remember? I mean, dude, there were like people hooked up in the plays. That's always one thing that people go back to. They go,
yeah.
I remember athletes would call me like, you know, theater nerd and theater, you know, all sorts of great catchphrases. And then, you know, I remember horribly in Nancy Drew, the freshman year play, the school had all these ideas to promote the show within the school. I remember for Grease, we did singing telegrams. We would go to classes and burst in and just sing songs in people's classes.
Like 8 a.m. math class.
But it was just like, here's the schedule of, and sometimes people would bail. So there'd be four of us and they'd be like, you got to go in and sing Grease Lightning to the fucking AP calculus. It's all seniors. And you're like, come on. Like one of the girls I kind of have a crush on. You're like, you got to go in there. Like, no, any makeup? Like, no, just go in your street clothes. You're like, Jesus Christ. Like, this is so gorilla.
That must have been so annoying.
So annoying. And I remember, and every now and then you see kids being like, and teachers kind of dug it, but then most teachers were like, especially early, they'd be like halfway through a thing and they'd be like, we'd knock on the door and be, by the way, we were poking through the window, like, because I think they would forget. They were like, you know, the Linda Johnson, you know, our great producer of all these shows would orchestrate like, all right, you're going to go to this class and you're going to this class. You'd knock out like 10 in a row in like, 45 minutes. Yeah. So we'd peek through the window of the class and be like, and the teacher would look over and be like, and anyway, and then, you know, the quadratic form. Ah, Jesus fucking Christ. All right, yeah, come in. You know, and then we go, all right, Grease Lightning. And everyone's just like, I mean, what the fuck is happening? You're actually making me not want to go see the show. And so that was one thing they did. Freshman year, though, they had the lobby display case in the foyer.
Yes.
You walk up the stairs to go to Shorecrest High School, and they had two display cases that had, like, I don't know, posters for things, sports paraphernalia, maybe awards for somebody that won something. And then at this time, this is the last time they did it, by the way, they decided for the freshman play in 1998, Nancy Drew, Girl Detective, I'm playing Tom Tozzle, the bad guy. And in the show, I dress up like a woman to be a chef to try to like get Nancy Drew. Ho ho, hijinks. So they put me in the dress and put me in the display case. And at like the, I had to get there before school started, getting full makeup, and they had the makeup gal did me up, full wardrobe, fake tits, everything, and I'm in the display case, like laying down, like, and then class starts, and everyone comes in, and I have to just stay still, like a fucking a window display dummy, and I mean, all our friends come up and immediately, and I remember even thinking like, I'm going to get ridiculed. This is going to be bad. And everyone's like, nah, it'll be great. Like, I'm just going to be respectful. Dude, 2 minutes into the bell ringing and kids running, banging, you fucking bitch. Like, just pounding the window. Athletes being like, give me a kiss. Oh, look at your fucking, come on, show us some skin, baby. Look at those hairy legs. I remember that being a big thing. Your hairy legs. You're a fucking gross woman, you know. And I just start, and then they would try to get me to laugh. So I'm like this, and then I would always laugh, and then they would go nuts. And then that would make me laugh harder, because then they would just be like trying to make me laugh. Principals would come by, hey, leave him alone, leave him alone. Oh, Jesus Christ, Adam, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. All right, get to class, you know.
Yeah, they stopped doing that. When I got to-
They had to. It was terrible.
Well, hey, everybody. Dr. Phil here. Now, look, life can get crazy. It can get tough. We all talk to our friends when we're experiencing issues, but they don't give us the advice we need. I know I talk to my wife when I'm in bed, you know, pillow talk, when I say, you know, I'm concerned about your excessive diarrhea. Look, if you've been at a low point and you might feel alone, that you're not alone. Over 50% of Americans struggle with their mental health. We all need help sometimes, and asking for support when you need it is actually a sign of strength. Well, I'm talking about Talkspace, okay? Talkspace makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist and schedule live video sessions all from the comfort of your device wherever you are. A bathroom stall, a Panera, even a massage pool. You can start messaging your therapist the same day you sign up. The app makes it easy to connect with your licensed therapist on your schedule without having to wait weeks before your next appointment. That can get fucking tedious. So you can go anywhere and take your therapist with you. Talkspace offers individual and couples therapy. I know my wife and I have done that quite a bit because it's good to get on the same page emotionally, sexually, and when you come. In addition to medication prescription services, they help you set goals and make sure that you're progressing. Talkspace therapists help you develop tools to cope in difficult times. They work around your schedule, send and receive unlimited messages with your dedicated therapist through the app, schedule your live video sessions with your licensed therapist from anywhere. And whether it's depression, anxiety, or other problems, excessive diarrhea, wife, Talkspace is the number one online therapy platform to help you sort through any issue. Thousands of licensed therapists are available for you to match with, and start doing it now. Start living a better, healthier life, feeling like the best version of yourself. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100, holy shit, off your first month with the promo code LASTNIGHT. That's Talkspace.com and get 100 buckaroos off your first month with the promo code LASTNIGHT. 100 bucks off when you use the promo code last night at Talkspace.com. We'll be right back.
But mostly positive for all those experiences.
Mostly positive. I will say, I was thinking about this
on the
drive over. I was on my Spotify list. A song from Once on This Island came up this week.
Once on This Island was my last show at Shorecrest.
Yep.
And your second to last show.
Second to last show. We did.
But you and I had gotten some great parts in The Wiz, which is arguably one of my favorites. I'm the Tin Man, you're the Scarecrow.
Yep.
There's a clip, but real quick, that I will put in here. On opening night, they would tape all the shows. Tony was covered. Our Brad Reed, our amazing director, choreographer, costume guy, went balls to the walls on these costumes where Anthony was covered with, like, hay and everything. And I had fucking metal, my boots, I had silverware dangling from my fucking chin. And opening night, I'm doing a ballad going into a fucking full-on, like, you know, eight-piece ensemble tap dance routine, and I get stuck on Anthony. Let's show a clip.
So, and we're back.
Yeah, and we're back. That was terrifying. What do you remember about that?
Here's what I'm saying. I mean, look, we had an incredible experience, and I don't want to knock anything we did.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about Once on This Island, and for those who don't know, Once on This Island is a show about...
Once on This Island is a all-black... musical?
100%.
I'd say 100%.
It's about people living on a native island and about, like, I'll say natives.
Yes.
And the rich, like, slightly less black people.
Yep.
And
famously on Broadway.
Yes.
Every
incredible,
production.
Incredible show.
People that don't have enough diversity to cover the cast usually don't tackle this show.
No.
And Shortcrest goes, we got a Filipino and a half black girl.
And 48 white
and
kids.
And 48 white kids. And we good?
and we did The Wiz, which is also maybe like the second most famous black show.
Totally.
And at the time, like, I don't remember thinking this
twice
is
about
weird.
It. No. Not at all.
No.
And I'm glad. And as also, I mean, I don't know. It's, we do now live in a time where, guess what? If that show's tackled, write-ups everywhere probably.
I would think so.
So good on us for doing it when we could. And both shows, I don't know if that's the move. I don't know if that was.
Is it?
If that's the move. I don't know. I guess I'm just saying I am glad that we lived in a time where that wasn't such a, I don't know. Is that crazy? But it is a weird move, but it's not like worthy of outrage, is it?
I don't think it's outrage. It's more just incredible that 20 years ago, no one said anything.
They might have behind closed doors.
That's probably true.
For sure. But also maybe, and this, then you give maybe credit to the people who chose the production going, we live in Lake Forest Park, Washington. How many people have seen Once on This Island or The Wiz to know that we're coming up short on on diversity?
Yeah.
But that was a you and I were ensemble for that, and that was arguably one of the most fun shows. We didn't have leads.
No.
We were ensembles. We played trees. We played frogs.
Yep.
And we had a blast.
We did.
Yeah. So much fun because it was like, you know, we were made ensemble to like, you know, be the leaders of the young kids. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're like, hey, Brad, the director, I'm a fucking frog. And this is my last show. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give as much to this.
Yep.
I'm going to give my all, which I feel like I fucking did.
Yeah.
That was one thing where you and I were just like, we're not going to phone anything in, but we're going to have a lot of fun.
I went from playing Tony in West Side Story.
Arguably one of the greatest parts of all time.
It was an incredible experience.
Yes, you crushed it.
Thank you. But, you know, dying in the last scene, like all this drama. I still remember kids. So we did like a show for like all the freshmen or eighth graders like coming into short grass.
Eighth graders, but also we would do in these productions in the spring.
Yeah.
Productions for, and this is what I remember going to as a kid, which is why short grass drama got put on a pedestal for me. Elementary schools would take field trips to the high school to see these shows. So I remember getting starstruck by seeing like Mrs. Pigglewiggle in the fucking fifth grade and being like, holy shit, and not thinking that was a real person.
No, and those seniors in Mrs. Pigglewiggle being like your idols. Like you'd write letters to them.
Yes.
Like fan mail.
Yes.
And we'd get the fan mail.
And then now we were on the receiving end of that.
Really
crazy.
Cool. Really
so,
cool,
but doing these productions. So you're doing one for eighth graders.
I remember, and I remember it, like I get shot. And just a whole bunch of kids laughed, and they had.
Why was the gun noise comical?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. Maybe I need to like work on my dying scene. But they
you
like,
were like and they're like, all right, dude, nobody dies like that.
Yeah, yeah. But I think they had to write me like an apology letter. Like 30 kids had assigned like this, like you know, sorry, we laughed.
Shut
at you.
Up. That's amazing.
Anyway, going from that to which was you know great, and then playing a frog. Plungers. It was the best. It was incredible run.
It was. And then you were always very involved, and there's another thing that I think people love about you is that you have this goofy side, and then you're also incredibly smart and cerebral and thoughtful and always trying to be on the right side of not only just life and family and friendship stuff, but history. But you've also always had, and this always definitely encouraged me to kind of have a broader look at everything and not just look at stuff at like as it's either this or that. Like, I feel like you've always been good at being like, let's take a step back and break this shit down and really look at all the angles and consider all the variables. You're just thoughtful with that, which is why I think you have excelled in all of your government jobs and just in college and in D.C. And we'll get into that. But and why everyone always was like, Anthony's going to be president. Because you're very consistent at seeing both sides.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
Thank you.
That being said, do you think Trump will win in 2020? So when you graduate high school, you go where?
I go to University of Washington.
Yes.
And went and did political science. And, I mean, I still, in high school, I did a trip to Washington, D.C. my first time.
Yeah.
And went from thinking I wanted to do acting and just like you were all in and so many of our friends were going
pursuing
down that path.
It,
And that just changed my perspective on everything. And just something about government, politics flipped the switch for me. And so I went to UW thinking I'm gonna do poli-sci and go down that path instead. And
did UW have a good program? Like, was it encouraging or were you like, I need to, because you went to D.C., right after college, right?
I was in law school in Seattle, but then would do my summers in D.C., worked for the Democratic National Committee, did stuff for Obama's campaign in 08, and,
that was crazy.
And just went down
hearing
that
your
path.
Stories from that was bonkers.
Crazy. Democratic Convention in Denver. And
what was that like?
You
get goosebumps
knew,
thinking about it?
Goosebumps. And like knowing that generational shift and seeing him speak like in the Mile High Stadium, wherever the Broncos play, in front of the 70,000.
Have you seen
people.
Someone speak like that since?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the way he was inspiring this young movement of people, voters, interested in just the world.
And just trying to make a broader change and think about things beyond, you know, just yourself. So that's...
How do you... Do you have goals? Like, how do you view what you're doing job-wise? Because I feel like you're always involved, and now especially when you came back to Seattle, you know, you've been, you know, working with the mayor and just really doing a lot, just big stuff. And it's overwhelming to me when you describe to me the things you're working on. I don't even know how you get in a position to do that. And then to be able to take on so much, and you describe like your day-to-day, and I'm like, I can't even wrap my head around it. And I'm like, I'm about to go do six new dick jokes. And you're like, yeah, I'm trying to make Washington a better place to live. I'm like, cool. Let me know how that goes. Yeah. But how is it the same thing with like the entertainment business where you can be like, all right, I want to, you know, start doing open mics, and then I want to get some short films under my belt, and then hopefully get an agent, and then that agent submits me for stuff, and then I start booking stuff. Is there kind of a...
I think just like the comedy world, which I feel like I just through you... and me talking, you know, over the years and knowing how you, what your path has been.
Yeah.
There's so many similarities in that, you know, you can go to school for it and get an education in it, but really you just got to go, you got to go get some on the ground experience. You got to go work for a campaign. You got to go be the staff assistant in a, you know, elected official's office and just sort the mail and just get to learn it a little bit and then
you
just work and work your way up. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just to be around it.
Yeah, just be around it and get to know.
It's like being an extra on a TV or movie set. You just want to be on set and start to get comfortable in that setting.
Yeah, totally. And then just work your way, you know, and then I think just you meet people and then, oh, there's an opportunity in this office. Go, you know, apply for this, or I'm going to go join this selected campaign. You want to come with me? And then you just kind of meet the network and go from there.
So when you came back from D.C., you had a shit ton of experience with – what that you brought back to Seattle and got into?
So I did. So let's see.
Can we go to like 3:15? Blake? Yeah. Okay. Good.
I did law school and did the stuff with the DNC. I was in doing like consulting in DC, working on policy issues that from DC, but it was had clients from the Seattle area.
Right.
And so yeah, I was over there for 5-6 years total, and then just wanting to come back and. I was sick of like the big, huge national issues, and I wanted to focus more on just like my hometown community and what we could do to make improvements on the ground in the community that like we grew up in. So went back and just having made connections and just getting to know people on both coasts, you know, that led to an opportunity to work for a city council member, and then it just kind of, you know, went from there.
So a city council member, and then that goes to, so once you are in that position, are you like, do you set your sights for, I want to work with people that have more of an impact statewide?
Yeah. I think I had an internship in the mayor's office, the mayor of Seattle's office, when I was in law school as well. And that just seeing that's where there's the most opportunity. So I had that kind of goal. I want to get to work in the mayor's office or something equivalent. And so kind of, you know, it is good to have those kind of goals in this world, but at the same time, also just looking for when there's a new opportunity, you got to jump and go on a different path of it. That's where it takes you.
Did you love DC?
Love DC. Don't miss it.
Yeah.
loved it for, you know, the time I was there. Yeah. I mean, it was fun. I mean, you just meet people from literally every state, every country.
Oh, really?
It's
almost like LA in that regard, where people are. Not a lot of people are from there.
Exactly. Nobody's from there, it felt like, overall. So
it was cool, too, because had you still been somewhere else, but it definitely helped when I had an extra ticket for the Heat premiere in 2013, and you came up. You just drove up, right? Or flew up, or I don't know. So close.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like, can I, you know, and we were talking about it and whatever, and I was like, I wonder if I can get more tickets. I'm going to ask. And they pulled some strings, and so I brought you and my mom and stepdad, George. What do you remember about that? Because that feels like a blur to me.
That was incredible. I mean, surely, like, here we are, right at this movie premiere.
Which, by the way, this is also what's great about having people, bringing people from your past that have seen, like you said, the grind. Like, you've literally been there and talked to me from when I was in college doing plays to graduating to I'm going in for this. Cool. I didn't get it. Oh, now what?
Yeah.
I don't know. I try to go in for something else. All right. Do this, whatever. No, you know, you have a lot of people that are removed from the business like you are and have me as an insight, and you hope that they understand that it is a grind and that there is like, because a lot of people from college 4 years after would just be like, you still doing the comedy thing? And I was like, yeah. They're like, I haven't seen you on anything. They're like, yeah, no, it's a, you gotta like, you can't, you don't just graduate and you do yeah. go on stage and they put you on a thing. Like you gotta, there's a lot of, and, you, yeah. and by the, as you start to explain it, they're just looking at you being like, all right, don't get defensive. You're like, no, I'm just, I'm, it's a, there's a lot. And they're like, all right, well, good luck with that. It seems like it's working out. And you're like, yeah, that's yeah, why we haven't good. Connected. Yeah. You know, but you were always understanding of like, cool, man, good luck with that. And like, I don't know, never totally. Busted balls, was just like, hope that works out. Keep at it. Like,
honestly, it's because I've had no doubt since the day you decided you wanted to go down this path that you know you were going to continue to make get strides. These opportunities.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. It's just cool. Had no. So it felt like, oh, premiere. I mean, to see you on the big screen, in scenes with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy was, I mean, out of this world. Felt so honored to get to go.
Yeah.
But what I truly remember, and the stories I would still tell people, is like the after party. And then the after party, and I think there was an after party.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, this is real. This isn't like something like they speak about in Hollywood. There's actually after parties.
I mean, SNL famously has their after party and their after, and then back in the day, after.
Yeah.
Because what did you even know? What were your ties to the entertainment business up until this point? Was this your like being around that was probably your first real taste of like, wow, Ben Affleck's right there. I could go flick him in the wiener if I wanted to.
Yeah, and. I don't know if he would realize.
well, we have that picture famously that I posted a billion times.
Yeah.
Which the end of the premiere party, Affleck is there. Because for these big movies, because he was the number one comedy of the summer, Melissa, Sandra, the big parties in New York where the premiere was. So they invite anyone who wants to come. So Ben Affleck was there. I think there were, Bill Burr obviously was there because he was in the movie. There's a few other celebs I can't remember that were there.
Melissa McCarthy was the nicest person I feel like I've ever met.
Yeah.
And just getting to chat with her for 20 minutes was incredible.
The coolest, right?
Yeah. So I remember that. Paul Feig was also incredibly nice.
Yep.
But you were the tie to the entertainment industry. I didn't know anything.
So going into that, you were just like, all right, I guess I'll go to watch the movie, and then didn't know what. You were just like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, we'll get a drink afterward, right? Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, well.
After party was crazy. Everyone's hanging out. And then we stick around to the very end because I was like, dude, Tony, I hope like you're down just to stay up all night because like this could be the last thing I ever do.
Yeah.
I want to soak it all up.
Yeah.
And that's where I, met Joy McIntyre and then, built that friendship. But then we went to an after party and then an after party in New York. It was just very like, out of a like, this is the, one cool thing we get to do in the entertainment business.
Yeah, but unbelievable.
Now, working in Seattle, starting a family, do you feel, what about Seattle has always, like, did you want to come back to? Explain, if you can, like, just the connection you have to it and why you were so, like, personally persuaded to come here and try to, like, add your own stamp on it.
Yeah. We want to bring it back full circle.
Yeah.
I think back to what we were just talking about earlier about like our friendship, the fact that we have so many of these friends we grew up with that still live here today. Like, I want to see that community that I'm still part of today. I want to just make a positive impact and the lives that we live. I'm kind of tongue tied on talking about it, but there's just something to say about not just for the people that you knew immediately and want to improve, our way of life, but also you grew up in this community and heck, in Seattle, there is a north end and a south end and the inequality is real. And I feel like I just saw that from the beginning and trying to figure out ways to make sure that, we were privileged, we were suburban, we were, the white privilege thing is, I think is real.
Yeah.
And, I think there's got to be finding ways in this, not just Seattle, but so many cities across the country to create greater equity. And I think that's been a huge focus of the people I've worked for and the things that they've tried to do in this town. So that's always stood out to me.
It's a big venture to try to like put yourself into, and it's easier said than done, at least from people that I know in LA that try to do stuff like this. It's a lot of talking big ideas and talking, you know, really actual change, and then like see some of them get deep into things and then find roadblocks or reasons to not do things or how tough it seems, which is why I go back to you breaking down some of the, you know, issues that you've addressed and how there's just no, like you said with me, like not having any doubt. Like I hear you talk about it being like, this is, I'm going to do this and we're going to figure out a way to you know, better this situation for these people.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, again, just such a tall, because man, life is just so full of ups and downs and everyone's got their own shit. And so to put that on hold, but I think this is why you and I are both such, like, me definitely people pleaser, but wanting to like always put focus more on others and doing stuff for others, because it it A, feels good, but B, takes away some of the stress momentarily from like my own life. You know what I'm saying? To where it's like, if I'm worrying about, for whatever reason, like I can almost take care of, like if I'm trying to do for other people and get something else solidified or take care of, then I'm not thinking about my own shit. And which is why I like coming up to Seattle, because then I, you know, always have work to do, but I if I put all my time and energy into family and and helping my sister out and taking the kids for a little bit, or doing this for my mom, or doing, you know, whatever, that like lets me step out of my my bubble that I've been in for the last 20 years.
Yeah. And we, God, I mean, you talk a lot about Seattle and just how much you love it. And I do too. And whether it's just in the environment, you know, and just the fact that we still have like mountains with snow on it and lakes that are clean. Like, I want to continue that. I want to figure out what do we need to do to keep that way of life for future generations as well.
Like your kid.
Like my kid.
4 month old?
2 month old.
2 month old.
Thanks.
His name's Jack.
Yep.
Where does that come from?
My grandfather went by Jack. Great. So we just really like the name too.
Are you going to, can nicknames come from that?
Well, you know, Jack is technically.
Because you're in my phone as Tony Baboni. People don't know that. And I don't know when I started calling you Baboni, but we did a sketch for the Shorecrest High School SCNN. It turned out it was like the news network where it was supposed to be 5 minutes of like advertisements for the school. Like, there's a dance coming up, there's a school play coming up on Friday. And by the my senior year, your junior year, it was a full on 15 to 18 minute sketch show that played at the beginning of class, to which most teachers by the end were like, this is almost a half an hour of class.
And I can't believe they allowed us to get away with that.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was not even about the announcements. We just did a sketch show, basically.
It was a sketch show, and then like even scrolling the announcements.
Yeah, and then, and I also forget about the fact that that was on Fridays. You and I read the morning announcements every day in addition to that.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Senior year?
I think I did it multiple years.
I think
maybe
I did
just,
junior year a little bit, and then senior. That's right. So we would get to school early, dial a thing, and then over the
talking to a phone.
I totally fucking forgot that.
You forgot that?
Yes.
You do voiceover work, and you forgot that your start was doing the morning announcements over the intercom.
So that's right. We'd sit there, and there would only be one other, like, the secretary at the school.
Yes.
There was only one line of defense between us and the phone, and being like, suck a dick, motherfuckers, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Which somebody, I did give the code out senior year to Barrett and Luke Holtz so that they could get on and say something. I don't know what they said, but it was something about school's out for summer. A little more edgy than that.
Yeah.
But they were like, you got to give us the code. And I was like, you know. But that was fun. That's right. So we would just basically trade off and be like, there's a blah, blah, blah. And remember, I would always have music.
Yes.
I always made these mixtapes. I remember that.
Yeah.
And I would hold up my little My First Sony into the phone, because I was like, I want to start the day with like some song and then turn it down and then go, morning, Scots, right? Or whatever.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Welcome to another sunny Seattle day. Like, yeah. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for everyone right now. We're all challenged in finding a day-to-day routine that that makes our lives consistent and awesome. And if there's something that's interfering with your happiness right now or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp is a professional counseling service, online, private, and it's so convenient. I've used it for a little bit now.
it's truly the only way that I've found to help get my own issues dealt with on my own time at my own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your licensed professional counselor right now. They're specialized in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief or relationships, sleeping, which I have a lot of trouble with, trauma, self-esteem. Anything that you share with them is confidential. And guess what? If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge. There's 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states, available worldwide. And again, there's four ways to communicate with them: text, chat, phone, and video. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's available on any desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. Schedule a video or phone session, generally weekly, unless your therapist schedules more. Unless you just are really not sleeping and need to get some additional chats in. There's broad expertise in the network, which may not be locally available in many areas. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional, and above all, it's affordable. All right, it's truly the most affordable option I found. So right now, all ALN listeners are going to get 10% off your first month with a discount code About Last Night. So why not get started today and start making some changes for the better in your life? You deserve it. So go to betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. And get 10% off your first month with promo code About Last Night. And now, back to the episode. It's so funny because when I worked at Albertsons, the grocery store, I did the announcements for like, we've got a special on root beer floats. It's hot as balls out there. What's that? Don't say that. Okay. It's hot as I didn't say the CK. Let me finish. It's hot as So get yourself some creamy. I can't. That's too sexual. Okay. Get yourself some jizzy. Oh, okay. That's even worse. You're making me nervous, you know. And I would do that for Albertsons to try to get people to buy those in-store.
Yeah.
And then you worked there for a little bit, right?
I was at Papa Murphy's next door.
Why did I think you bagged groceries for a minute, too?
I don't know.
A lot of people came in for like 2 month stints.
Yeah.
Kirk Huffman, Jonathan Stevens. That's right. You were Papa Murphy's. So again, everyone worked in the LFP Town Center.
Yes, I was going to say the Lake Forest Park Town Center. Everyone, you had one friend that worked at literally every single store there.
Steve Aguilar, great Harvest Bread.
Yep.
Baskin Robbins, who was there? Anna Buxton.
Yep. Jeremiah Fulford Foster at Hollywood Video.
Hollywood Video.
Aaron Ayers and Laura Turner at Treetop Toys.
Treetop Toys, man. It's where you got all your birthday presents.
That's right.
Diamond in the Mall, just one guy, Ron.
Just Ron.
Still there. Saw him a couple months ago. He's now all Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic the Gathering. Yeah. He's like baseball and sports trading. He's like, sports trading cards are a thing of the past. It's all Yu-Gi-Oh! And Magic, baby. He's like, you know what I'll do? You know what I'll do to a man for a Pikachu?
Have you heard that like baseball cards are back?
I loosely heard that, and I'm fired up about that.
I am too.
I got cards and balls, and dude, I got stuff that I. At this point, you go, do you hold on to it or do you sell it and try to get a house? Because I don't really need a Randy Johnson A-Rod ball.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get a house for...
Hold on to it.
Yeah.
You can't just sell those and get a house.
Yeah. I don't think the 1990 Donruss complete set is
Well, you don't know. that mall, too, was just such a staple of our childhood. And that's... I feel fortunate that we've had that and seen all the iterations that's gone through. Wow. That's crazy that you did pizza and then now you're just on... I mean... Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about those early jobs and think about what you've, every step in between to now be in a position that you're in for the state of Washington?
For sure. First job.
Did your Papa Murphy's days set you up for this?
No, the next job.
Doesn't even give an ounce of validity to that.
No,
it didn't.
No.
I'm insulted you asked that.
Yeah.
But,
well, I was going to say the next job, I worked the front desk at City Hall for the city of Lake Forest Park.
Okay.
So that actually completely did set.
You never had to dress up like a piece of pizza like Chris DeLeon did, right?
No.
Okay. He got fired because I think he said, and I quote, fuck this, while dressed as a pizza and took
Chris
off.
Chris DeLeon, I think, helped get me the job at Papa Murphy's and then also got me a different job as a food server at a retirement home.
Amazing.
Wow.
So you've had a lot of jobs before. This type of work.
No, those are literally the two jobs, and everything else has been politics.
But that's amazing. What do you love about being a dad right now?
It
It's a very early look to be getting your thoughts.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. Everything that people say that like they were telling me about, oh, here's what being a dad is like, has turned out to be correct. Like you just, the like kind of love you have for this person is just
indescribable.
You are more tired than you ever be in your entire life.
You look good. You look rested.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What do you look good.
What's your secret? What are you using on your skin?
I don't know. I haven't showered in days.
That's the right answer.
Yeah.
Did your folks give you any sort of, heads up about it? Two of the greatest people, by the way, Kathy and Tony. You've got, your parents are like, for most people, I would say second parents, because they feel that just, and especially for me growing up, it's like the amount of times, and just real quick, side tangent, again, being a chubby kid, the amount of friends' houses I would go to, and they would make comments. Like I was saying, you don't know you're a fat kid until you get a dad that was just like, hey, when you're done with those Pop-Tarts, you got time for a titty fuck? Like, there was like,
that was
no parents. That was your dad, yeah. No, your parents were always so, like, they'd see me, like, rummage through the cabinets, or I'd spend the night and, you know, get your mom's credit card and try to order a late night pizza. I wouldn't do that. I truly wish I did that. That's a true problem. But come up to the kitchen late night and be like, what do we got? What's going on in the REMA fridge these days?
Yeah.
And them just kind of be like, I think if your mom came out and saw that, she'd be like, do you want to put cheese on it? Or do you want to, you know, like.
Oh, my mom would absolutely be like, yeah. Do you want me to make you something?
She wasn't like, she wouldn't come behind and just, like, you know, hear me like slowly press the microwave and just like grab my finger and go, what are you doing with that bread? Hey, Kathy, I was just seeing if you guys wanted any grilled cheeses at 2 a.m. Would you put your fucking fingers down? So you know what I'm saying? They were on board and supportive.
Supportive.
And
fully
and
supportive.
Not every parent was like that. So again, big fans.
I am too.
What were they like during the pre-father process?
Incredibly excited. This is their first grandkid. So
huge.
Yeah. And even since we've had Jack, I mean, they're loving it.
Yeah.
They're loving being grandparents and experiencing that. So
so no sleep, but you're fired up. All the love. Is it making you view your day-to-day differently? Like,
I'm really lucky. My job gives me 3 months paid leave. And so I'm on 2 months.
That's huge.
I got another month.
Is Seattle the only place that does that?
I think more and more. I mean, they're doing paternity leave. But the state, actually, Washington State, I think, is one of the few states that
and Jerry too, obviously.
Jerry's got time off as well.
I've never heard of that. That's also, I mean, shouldn't it be like that? Shouldn't you want the parents to be around the kid for at least the first?
I can't imagine having,
if you were still working,
if I was right working,
back to it.
Yeah.
It'd probably be driving you crazy.
I think it'd be really tough. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah.
I totally feel blessed that I have that ability to be here and just watch him develop.
Cool.
So, it's really great. Do you want?
I don't know. I think I do, but the uncle game, I'm pretty content with. We talk about it. We go back and forth. I don't know. You know, I know I would love it, and I see too many examples from friends just getting going with it or have been doing it and are able. Joey McIntyre, for example, to be a fucking pop star and have 3 kids and do both. You can do it. Comedians, I know that, I don't know. It's just got to be, I don't know if there's a right time. I don't think it's right now, but I also don't want to be, I had a friend, I think his name was Noah Hostetler, and his dad, I think, was 80 when we were 11, and that was a lot.
Yeah.
He was, like, at the games, being like, you know where the field is? And we were like, are you with somebody? And he's like, are you? Well, there's plenty of fields here, but who are you with? That's an over-exaggeration. But he was, I remember just, I was like, whose grandpa are you? And he was like, I don't know his father. And I was like, dear God.
Yeah,
I don't want my kid's first words to be, somebody call 911. You know? So I think sooner than later for sure.
Yeah.
Tone, this has been great.
This has been great.
Yeah. I know you told me you recently got into more podcasts, but you've always been an ALN listener.
I have been.
And to have you on as a all-time friend.
It's an honor.
And someone who listens, I think hopefully this is the greatest day of your life.
I've been waiting for this invite.
If this
you did give me 15 minutes notice that I was going to be your guest today. So
classic me fashion.
Yeah.
But that's the best. That's how you get the best shit. If you're too prepared, you would have overthought. Honestly.
Oh, 100%. No.
Because even I could hear it in your voice. You were like, what are we going to talk? Like, what is? Are you going to ask me something that I might not should be able to answer? Like, you know, but you crushed it.
I appreciate it.
And someday Jack will listen to this and you know.
He'll be really honored.
And he'll be like, who is that guy? Is that the guy?
Uncle Adam.
Is that the guy who barely fit into his jersey in the Celebrity All-Star game? Which, by the way, Bob Stelton, as soon as I posted a clip of that, he was just like, jersey's looking a little tight. And I was like, it's been a rough month.
And you, but also 9 points, right?
9 points. Real quick, I want to hear from your perspective on that, because that was the greatest weekend of my life, and to have you and Colin and my girl there was incredible. What was it like from a fan perspective?
It was it was unreal. The Celebrity game itself, just thing. Here's one of my best friends and is in the Celebrity game. I can't believe that has happened. It's so cool to brag about you,
you know,
to other people. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what the main thing I remember. You got to remind me the name of the wide receiver or the
Steve
NFL.
Smith.
Steve Smith. So I remember you had scored like 6 points.
In a row.
I'm sitting.
Checked in, by the way. When I checked in, I don't know what you're thinking. I'll tell you what I'm thinking. MVP.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to at least get a bucket.
Yeah. I'm sitting courtside. You're on the baseline. Mm-hmm. You're coming down. You score, and Steve Smith was matched up on you. And I yelled out, "You gotta guard him, Steve!" And from that moment on, I think took the ball and like he dominated you. And I don't know if you might not have
dislocated my pinky.
That's right.
So thank you, I guess.
I still remember when I yelled at him. He looked back at me. And I think you have me to blame for your dislocated pinky. I think I snapped something in
him. That's amazing. But also very cool to be like, wow, I'm this close to where I can have this type of interaction.
Yeah. So that was incredible. And then you just were so gracious to me to do that invite. And we had front row seats for the slam dunk contest.
And the game.
Right behind the bench.
I was just like, well, again, when I asked for ticks, I was like, is there any way we can... You know, and I even said, like, if they can come to the game and then maybe one event.
Yeah.
And they were just like, all of it. And it was, and our seats were amazing. And then Colin, Sullivan, and Anthony wear Sonics attire for the dunk contest. And during the dunk contest, there was a guy in OKC who was in the dunk contest. His name slipped my mind.
Diallo or something like that.
We were positioned right behind the bench.
Yeah.
So there's a shot that went viral on Twitter. Of Colin and Anthony, I think, doing thumbs down in Sonics jersey behind the OKC guy. And it got blown over on Twitter. And it was amazing.
That's the most famous I'll ever be, was that.
Well, not with that attitude.
You're right. Set goals.
Yeah.
Set goals.
That was great. Do you remember, what was that like? Did you have friends hitting you up and stuff? And
all these people texting saying, wait, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Why are you across the country? And people, I got a text from somebody who said, like, oh, Sonics fans behind the bench at the slam dunk contest. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's me. And they did not know it was me. They were just like commenting.
Texting to you to be like, hey, Seattle buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing. And then we met Jamie Foxx for a minute. He came by to say what up.
Yes,
Guy Fieri took shots with him. And then didn't we go down around the floor and take some pics?
We got some pics with, I just remember Brad getting a photo.
With Shaq.
But yeah. It was outrageous.
Yeah, it was really extra special to have you guys there. And that's what it's all about. You know what I'm saying? Like, truly getting any piece of extra bonus fun from being in this world and then getting to, you know, like that was, if I had just gone by myself and, you know, yeah, fine, fun, but like, dude, way cooler to be like, to have the holy shit with you guys and look at each other and be just as much of a fan. And not have to just, like, you know, go through it as if it was, like, every day. Like, what's up, Dr. Oz? Yeah, I'll see you on the court. I'm a D up. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool, Mike Calder. Yeah, no. Hassan, yeah. No, it's cool. Yeah. Hey, Quavo. No, that's what's up. Yeah, Quavo just fucking, by the way, just no fist pump. Didn't even look me in the eyes. I do have a great picture of Brad holding in the locker room Quavo when he came in with all this bling. And Brad was like, I'll hold that for you. And there's a picture of him holding a probably $2 million necklace around Brad's neck.
I also remember Bad Bunny, who's now like the biggest music artist in the world.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think he was much of a name.
He was pretty big.
I just didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, it was the celebrity. Everyone on there had to have at least, you know. Yeah. Remember, by the way, their intro for me was so awful. It was like he's a comedian who hopes his play who's known for his videos going viral. He hopes his play of his a video of his play doesn't go viral for him being awful. It was just some like. I remember just like doing a fucking weird robot,
yeah.
But I wanted to kind of look up and just be like,
yeah,
because you know, it was such a bad intro. Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, I to be invited to do that, it was incredible. I struggle to think of how to reciprocate it. I don't think I will be invited to a celebrity NBA game. If I am, you will be my. Well, we'll probably play in it together, I guess. But
that's the dream. Back here in Seattle.
Yes.
We get a team back.
Yes.
Yeah, man, those types of things are once in a lifetime. I loved having you there. I loved having you here. This was great. How'd it feel?
It was fun.
First podcast?
Yeah, first podcast.
Wow. You're great.
I might start one. No, I'm not going to start.
Yikes. You give the guy a couple words, he wants a whole hour of chat for himself. You could do it. But this is, again, I wouldn't have anyone on to go down memory lane and get into all these nuts and bolts if I didn't think you could bring something to the table.
Appreciate it.
So I usually plug people's Instagram. What are you at?
I think I'm Anthony Wariema.
Great. Keep it simple. I'd say plug your tour dates, but I don't think I've had public speaking dates are in your future.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I don't
gotta
have any.
That out. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you get asked to again go along. Like I know with the Mariners, you went there to help really get all the COVID protocols.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're definitely getting people are like, "Hey, come speak for us and be a representative for things that matter because you matter."
I do. I have done more public speaking in these roles, just you know, because as a staffer, you're supposed to be behind the scenes, but you get invited to speak on behalf of the elected official you work
more.
For.
People will see this podcast.
Yeah, and
be like, look at that guy.
Ah, man,
he
I
is
wish
so
I
nervous. You wish what?
I wish I had a tour date. I wish I had something to plug right now. Well,
all right. Well, we can edit it. Jack's birthday? Your son's birthday?
Yeah, come on. My son's first birthday next year.
Yeah. That is big. You got to go all out for that. Or do you? The first birthday? When people are like, it's the first. I've gotten invited to first birthdays.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now. I'll send you a gift. And just like I did for Colin, it won't fit the kid until he's four. I sent our friend.
You need to do that.
I sent Colin Spider-Man shoes, I think, for his son, Chance, when he, I think they, Colin was like, these are amazing. They say they're for a five-year-old. And then Colin sent me a picture of him when he was five wearing the boots. And I was like, you're welcome. but would you do a first birthday?
I think you gotta.
Yeah.
It's
more for you.
Right?
Every chance to celebrate in these times, you gotta take
it. What is he gonna remember?
I mean, if he's lucky, hopefully not the first 18 years.
The cake is going to be the cake I want.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
Sorry, I realized what you just said. And
Tony, I love you.
Love you too.
This was great.
That was fun. We'll be back next week.
No, you know what? Take it. Say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.